Five, four, three, two, one.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Situation Fluxus, a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Let us dig into the headlines. The Jacksonville Jazz Festival in Jacksonville, Florida is go this upcoming Memorial Day weekend, May 26th through the 29th. For more information, jacksonvillejazzfest.com. Also scheduled this Memorial Day weekend, the 45th ATL Jazz Fest in Atlanta, Georgia, May 28th through the 30th. For more information, atljazzfest.com. The Scott Joplin International Ragtime Festival runs June 1st through the 4th in Sedalia, Missouri. For more information, scottjoplin.org. The Bronx River Arts Center presents the 19th Annual Bronx River Sounds Performing Arts Festival, Healing, Harmony, and Rejuvenation, taking place on four Saturdays in Bronx, New York. June 4th, 11th, 8th, and 25th, and the Juneteenth Legacy Project on Friday, June 17th. For more information, bronxriverart.org. 577 Records announces a new residency, Sounds of Freedom 2022, taking place October 1st through the 31st in Italy. Five active musicians will be awarded the opportunity to develop their own sound, composition skills, and improvisation concept for a month in the Italian countryside, under the mentorship of drummer and Berklee College of Music instructor Francisco Mela. For more information, 577records.com/soundsoffreedom. Pianist and composer Satoko Fuji, vibraphonist Teiko Sato, and drummer Yuko Oshima, the trio known as San, embarks on its European tour June 4th through June 10th. The tour precedes a busy fall for Fuji, featuring the September 20th live New York City performance and recording of her 100th album as a leader, due out in December of this year. For more information, satokofuji.com. At Birdland in New York City, inside of Birdland Theater tonight, May 26th, pianist Bill O'Connell and his quartet, featuring saxophonist Craig Handy, pianist Aaron Deal and bassist David Wong, May 27th and 28th. Bassist Desron Douglas and his quartet, May 29th. Trombonist Ed Neumeister and his quartet on May 30th. And vocalist Gabrielle Stravelli and her trio on May 31st. And inside of Birdland Jazz Club tomorrow night, Friday, May 27th, the Birdland Big Band. Trombonist Robert Edwards, Big Band, and pianist and bandleader Arturo O'Farrell and the Afro-Latin Jazz Ensemble on May 29th. And trumpeter Randy Brecker, pianist Mark Copland, and soprano saxophonist Dave Liebman and their quintet May 31st through June 4th. For more information, birdlandjazz.com. Pianist Chris Davis and the ensemble Diatom Ribbons continues their series performances at the Village Vanguard tonight through Sunday, May 29th. Tomorrow night and Saturday night sets will be recorded for a forthcoming album on Pyroclastic Records. For more information, villagevanguard.com. This Friday and Saturday night, May 27th and 28th, at the Jazz Forum in Tarrytown, New York, pianist Elio Alves and his quartet for two sets. For more information, jazzforumarts.org. Pianist Armin Danilian, drummer Dennis Mackerel, and bassist Jay Anderson perform at the Soapbox Gallery in Brooklyn, New York, tomorrow night, Friday, May 27th, 8 p.m. For more information, soapboxgallery.org. Pianist David Varelis and his trio are at the Jazz Gallery in New York City Friday and Saturday, May 27th and 28th. For more information, jazzgallery.org. And at the Falcon in Marlborough, New York, continuing its Jazz Sunday series, bassist Richie Goods and vibraphonist Qian Qian Lu this Sunday, May 29th. For more information, liveatthefalcon.com. And now for new releases. Coming out tomorrow, Friday, May 27th, pianist Gonzalo Rubalcaba and vocalist Amin Nuviola on Five Passion, bassist Alex Lacusta's self-release Transmit Slow, vocalist Gene Karn's Jazz is Dead 12 on Jazz is Dead, Nadeduzo Macathini's In the Spirit of Natu on Blue Note, and drummer Dana Fitzsimmons' self-release Fault Line. Other new releases, the Athesis Quartet self-release debut on Orenda, producers and instrumentalists Adrian Young and Ali Shahid Mohammed's Jazz is Dead 11 on Jazz is Dead, guitarist Randy Napoleon's Puppets, the music of Greg Hill on Origin Arts 082, and guitarist Lance Conrad's self-release Home. All news items have been gathered from various media sources. For the latest updates, contact the source, venue, or business. Remember, I'm just the messenger. We begin with music.
Welcome to the WBAI Free Music Store. And those of you here, I'm glad you could come. And those of you relaxing at home, I hope you enjoy it. One rule is a fire regulation, no smoking in here of any kind. So we'll appreciate it if you consider that. It makes me very happy to introduce to you some very beautiful people. Gene Ashton on piano and percussion. John Clark on French horn, William Parker on bass, Ralph Williams on percussion, Jim Chaparro on drums, and the composer, flutist, and saxophonist, Alan Brofman. Thank you.
The knower, the sustainer, the omnipotent. God suffices all things above all things. God suffices all things above all things. Nothing in the heavens or in the earth but God suffices. Verily, He is in Himself the knower, the sustainer, the omnipotent God. All things. Nothing in the heavens or the earth.
You're getting to be all that matters to me. And let me tell you, boy, I hope and pray each day I live. A little more love I have to give. A little more love that's devoted and true. Cause all I do is think about you. Oh, baby.
Just think about you.
Pianist, drummer, and producer Julius Rodriguez, reimagining singer and keyboardist Stevie Wonder's All I Do, the second single from his debut Verve Records release, Let Sound Tell All, due out on June 10th. It featured vocalist Mariah Cameron. And we began the set with the restored archival project by saxophonist Alan Broffman, Live 1975. The 94-minute live album was recorded in New York City just after the recording of Broffman's debut album, Valley of Search. Alan Broffman on alto saxophone and flute, Cooper Moore, known then at the time as Gene Ashton, on piano, ashimba, and recitation, William Parker on bass, John Clark on French horn, Jim Chaparro on drums, and Ralph Williams on percussion. You're listening to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener supported radio for open ears. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Please send your comments, quips, and anecdotes, as well as feedback to thejazzdisturbance at gmail.com, info at wgxc.org, feedback at wgxc.org, or leave a 3-minute message at area code 518-291-WGXC. Our website is wgxc.org.
Hey guys, this is Colin Meyer from Joyride, and you're with Cheryl Kay, host of Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties of New York, and online at wgxc.org.
Okay, so are you ready to start? Do you have any questions, sir?
No, not at all. I'm in your hands. Let's drive this truck.
Okay. My interview is with vocalist and award-winning chef and restaurateur Alexander Smalls. He's collaborated with the record label Outside in Music to create Smalls House Productions, an imprint of the New York City-based label. His upcoming release, Let Us Break Bread Together, is due out on June 10th. Well, I want to thank you for joining me on Situation Fluxus.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. You state in the press release to Let Us Break Bread Together that, quote, "There came a time when I realized it was okay not to be the musician on stage, but to be part of the production that brings music to the stage or keeps it alive in some way."
Mm-hmm.
Did this perspective come about from your collaboration with Outside in Music in creating the imprint Smalls House Productions?
Well, you know, I think that it came about through growth as an individual, as a musician, a creative person, you know, having grown up imagining that my ultimate destination as a career was going to be a great opera singer. I wanted to be one of the first Black men who broke through the glass ceiling and was viewed as someone exceptional and in the field of opera, which was my great love. So, you know, that kind of discipline and focus is everything, and you see yourself only as the artist. So the transition, you know, after I did my own personal transition from opera being my focus to opening my first restaurant, and now 5 restaurants to my credit in New York, and 22,000 square foot food hall in Dubai. You know, I at some point made my peace with that earlier trajectory and focus, because obviously I expanded the narrative and I became not only a musician, but a chef, restaurateur, author. When I realized that I could use the platform I created to continue to feed and support the music that I loved, it was a no-brainer. And I understood that just as I set the table for my diners and for people who come to enjoy what I do as a chef, a restaurateur, I could do that also for music and other musicians. And that's what brought me to this place in a roundabout way.
Something else you said: I chose to create a recording of the Negro spiritual because it is probably some of the most misunderstood music on the planet. Where do you believe the misunderstanding begins?
Well, I think that the misunderstanding started in the abolishing of slavery, because when you abolished slavery, the music that served a purpose to, for the most part, allow enslaved African people to continue the tribal rituals that they so enjoyed and to express who they were in their original melodies and their words and music, their lyrics, which had been really taken away from them. Because as you know, enslaved people were only allowed to read the Bible, or rather hear verses from the Bible. They were only allowed to essentially sing religious songs because it made their masters comfortable. The other music made them uncomfortable. So in their brilliance, they took those lyrics, those Bible verses, those hymns, and they married them to, you know, their own sort of melodies, their country melodies, and they were able to continue the ritual of dancing and singing and rejoicing as they had done before in their native tongues. But the other advantage was it was their private code language. It was their way to communicate with each other and have some privacy and dignity. And so the music borrowed the religious verses and Bible verses, but it wasn't necessarily religious music. Mm-hmm. And so when slavery was abolished, et cetera, that music was adopted by the church and became a part of the church expression of Black music. Interestingly enough, the full sort of weight and narrative of what that music meant to enslaved people, you know, kind of got lost because people just said, oh, it's religious music. It's religious music. So one of the reasons I did this album and one of the things that I plan to focus on with Small's House and my own interests of Black music and what I call endangered Black music is to take this music, bring it into the secular. You know, so the first thing I reached for was two extraordinary producers, Ulysses Owens Jr. And Robert Satan. And because I had known both of them for many years, and when Robert also worked with Kathleen Battle, one of my closest, dearest friends, for many, many years. And Robert had such experience, not only in classical, but also in jazz, and being a classical musician, that was a great comfort. And Ulysses had the insight to know that because I've worked closely with him, and he really is instrumental in making this project come to life. And so we set out to put this music in more of a jazz setting to allow it to breathe and live outside of the church vernacular, if you will. So that was my intent.
I recently interviewed saxophonist Javon Jackson and poet, activist, and educator Nikki Giovanni. It was powerful. One of the things that she expressed was feeling sorry for today's youth, who she views as unhappy, feeling that they don't belong in this world, and having nothing to lean on. She believes that they need to hear these spirituals, especially African-American youth, because these are songs of their heritage. You've already expressed some reasons about bringing this music back to the forefront. Is that part of your reasoning too?
Absolutely. I mean, essentially, this music is so important foundationally to who we are. And I wanted to get it out there in its purest sense. I wanted to re-engage the listeners, people that might have written it off, only went for church or funerals or you know, made it for old people or whatever. I wanted it to be accessible. And the whole point and the whole focus and drive for me, because it's my intent to do a series of these, you know, musical recordings, and not necessarily with myself, with other musicians. I want this music to be accessible. I want people to understand the strength and beauty. To Nikki Giovanni's point, young people, you know, who really, in so many ways, it's interesting because, you know, consolidation and, you know, the concept of integration as we know it, you know, while it was supposed to create equality for us and give us choices, you know, the other part of that is that it stole our center, our core. It stole the way in which we used to be able to communicate with each other through our various organizations and groups, and even our church, you know, getting out, making the information about who we are, where we come from, you know, a real touchstone in our culture and our society. We've lost a lot of that, because that has gotten watered down as we borrowed other cultures. We had different experiences. And some of us have even succeeded in convincing ourselves that we are no longer in the struggle. I mean, the absurdity of it all. When you see and engage these people that think because they might have some financial independence, you know, that they are free, if you will. But then, you know, as James Baldwin said, I mean, you know, if one of us ain't free, none of us are free. And so the embrace of who we are foundationally, I feel that this music can really help us, you know, get back to our center, our core.
I've known rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood in human veins. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. I bathed in the Euphrates when dawns were young. I built my hut near the Congo, and it lulled me to sleep. I looked upon the Nile and raised the pyramids above it. I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans. And I've seen its muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset. I've known rivers, ancient, dusty rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. The Negro speaks of rivers, Langston Hughes, 1902, 1967.
Rendition, accompanied by bassist Ben Williams, of The Negro Speaks of Rivers by poet Langston Hughes, written in 1920 during a trip crossing the Mississippi River. He wrote that through our experiences as Africans brought to America, our souls have become deep. At this moment, in the aftermath of the mass shooting in Buffalo, New York, I'd like to add the word wounded. What direction do these songs point us in these miserable times?
Well, first, I think they anchor us. And I think we need anchoring. We need something to stand on. We need, to be, galvanized at our core, engaged, and really brought together. I mean, we don't have that anymore. I remember growing up, in the 60s and the 70s, and I remember, not only the railing voice of Dr. King, but so many extraordinary orators and Black folks who stood tall, who essentially moved, it seems like they were able with their voices and with their motivation, to move obstacles and push beyond, the worst of it. And we've lost that in so many ways. And I think that we need anchoring. And it's almost like when you go back and embrace the words of Langston Hughes and Jimmy Baldwin and, Toni Morrison and Maya Angelou, we get that anchoring and we understand that, we are on solid footing because, you have to remember, we are African people. African people are tribal. We move, with our village. And I often feel that those poetic reminders, that language, brings us all together as one to really stand united and understand or be reminded that we are still fighting for our freedom.
Every day.
Every day.
Well, when you're not singing and producing, what are you cooking from one of your cookbooks?
First of all I can tell you is that if there's a potpourri of culinary cultural madness on my social media page. Potpourri, but I, what I'm really cooking is a revolution. What I'm really cooking is a movement of the food of the African diaspora, how through slavery, Africa changed the global culinary conversation. And that has been essentially what has fueled my passion and my work. In the 30 years that I've been doing this, I've moved from a chef restaurateur really to a culinary activist. And that's how I see myself. And when I look back on my, legacy of work, even from my first restaurant, which was the first fine dining African-American restaurant that I opened in New York in the early 90s. And now this past year, opening the first African dining hall in the world, 22,000 square feet in Dubai for Expo 2020. That restaurant will remain in Dubai, and I will open the next one in New York in 2023 in Harlem, and then London as well. And then, it's a movement. I am opening it everywhere all over the globe, and I essentially am a one-man band with a tribe, really challenging 600 years of institutional racism and corporate suppression. I'm bringing the food ways that are foundational and culinary anywhere in the world to light. And that's what I'm cooking. That's what it's in the pot. You talk about a pot of gumbo, here it comes.
Will you share with us some of the disciplines that you follow in your culinary career and also follow in your singing career?
Well, that's a very interesting question. Because I really don't see myself as a very disciplined person. In fact, I think of myself as lazy sometimes. First of all, I'm inspired and I'm passionate and I'm relentlessly passionate. And I'm also extraordinarily curious and inquisitive, and all these things push me. I don't know that I have so much a discipline as I have tenets of truth to serve. You know, I mean, if it's the truth, I'm going in that direction. If it's something that has to be done and I can do it, I'm going in that direction. I have been all my life a man on a mission. It's how I understand. It's how I breathe. It's how I really approach everything that I do in life. It's mission driven. When I'm passionate about something, I'm relentless. But it would take someone outside of myself to speak of discipline, because I don't know if I have it. I wonder if I even need it, because I'm driven. You know, it's sort of like when you're driven, you know, everything has to be done. And if there's nobody to pass it on to, you get out there and you do it.
When I'm not doing something, I consider myself lazy. And my husband has pointed it out that's not true. You're not lazy. You're just not doing something at that moment.
Exactly. You know, I mean, and, you know, I write books. I'm happy to say, I can say that right to you. You're the first person I can say this to. I just signed a new book deal, you know, which will be my fourth. You're right. I have to have something to do. You know, otherwise, you know, then, because I'm an extreme personality, I'm either engaged or I'm not. I am busy or I'm not. And even when I'm not busy, my mind doesn't stop. Because that's what I create. Like, because I write constantly. I write every day. If I'm not writing for a specific project, I'm writing prose, I'm writing thoughts. But there's something that I discovered as a young boy, writing allows me to connect the dots to my inner self and pull out all of that within me. You know, and I think as a human being, you know, who, especially a young child, seeking purpose, one of the greatest gifts you could give them is a love for writing, a love for expressing themselves in the written word, because it becomes their companion. It becomes the constant in their lives.
Smalls yeah. House Productions provides an outlet for musicians to honor and preserve the cultures and traditions of African-American music while simultaneously developing a lasting aura for the present and future. What are the future plans for this new label?
Well, its focus and its foundation, hopefully we defined in the first album, Let Us Break Bread Together. But it's a celebration. It's a homecoming. It's an embrace of, you know, where we come from and where we're going. It is, again, focused on archiving this beautiful music of the African diaspora, and eventually cultivating performances, cultivating young musicians, or just could be older musicians as well, people who really have a gift to give to this musical discipline. It's a wonderful project for me, because in many ways, it is allowing me to continue that dream I had as a child and a young adult, to be instrumental and purposeful in helping to preserve, reintroduce, refresh very important musical literature.
And it sounds like you need one more thing to do. I'm just saying.
Oh gosh, I tell you, you know, that was a note from, you sounded like my mother at that point. It's like, okay, there he goes again. You know, I mean, but I guess I look at everything as somebody has to do it, why not me? Somebody has to do it, why not me? I think that you know, and I can't even, we won't even get into what I'm doing professionally with respect to the hospitality industry, because again, it's like one more thing to do. I can't help myself. But you know, something my grandfather said to me when I was a small boy, I used to spend a lot of time with grandpa. And he said to me, son, don't ever stop working. Don't ever stop working. Don't sit around and lounge. This thing about retirement, it doesn't exist. He says, get up and go somewhere every day. Have something to do. You are here to serve, you know. And then my mother said to me, as long as you love what you do, you will never have a job. And probably the best advice I took away from home and my family, because they prepared me to be hungry. And it's okay to be hungry and to get out here and satisfy that hunger. So that's what we do, what we do.
For more information, alexandersmalls.com and outsideinmusic.com.
My life. It's like a pot of gumbo simmering on the back burner of a hot stove. My life has always been filled with music and poetry, lyricism, and food and music. And music and food. Have been the elements that best describe my journey. I feel a great gift to be able to create a book called Meals, Music, and Muses, My African American Kitchen. Because those ingredients create the recipe of my life. As a child, music entertained me. Food fed me, daydreaming and musing allowed me to dream a life well lived.
Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. I've been your host, Cheryl Kay. Tune in next Thursday at 10 a.m. for another show. I also host the Jazz Disturbance on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. To contact us about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com or info@wgxc.org. We appreciate your feedback. Feedback@WGXC.org or leave a 3-minute message at area code 518-291-WGXC. Thank you.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.